basements at Level City.
What's going on?
I would like you to stop my heart. You give it 1 minute, and then you bring me back.
Okay. Now's the point where you say it's all a joke.
What happens to us after we die? The only way to find out is to see for ourselves. We could document that experience.
Did you see a white light? It was more like pure energy.
How is she playing the piano now?
It's like her brain's been rewired.
I'm going next.
Charging 200.
It's a good day to die.
Clear!
Today, I'm gonna heal.
So, how well you can heal?
3 minutes. Jamie only did two. What can I say? We're competitive. I'm going next. 5 minutes. 7 minutes.
No one's ever come back from that.
Flatliners, you haven't lived until you die. Trying. I'm not a big fan of that tagline because, well, I like living. I'm not really ready to die. If it happens, so be it, but I don't know. This sounds like white people that's been drinking a lot of Mountain Dew, you know, type of deal here, but I digress. Flatliners is a remake, as much as people in the media or mainstream would love to say that it's kind of a sequel. No, it's a, how do they say it? It's a soft remake, if you will. Although everyone's playing, well, at least Kiefer Sutherland, he's playing the same character he played in the original film here. He's not really doing much there, although all the other characters you got here, or actors, they are playing formats of, you know, other characters from the previous film, but I digress here. So, we open up with Ellen Page here, and she's playing Courtney, and she looks gorgeous. Well, she, I ain't gonna lie, Ellen Page looked like she didn't sleep in days in this scene right here. I was like, Jesus Christ, girl. And she's driving with her little baby sister, at least you assume, or it could have been her daughter, but I'm assuming they were probably sisters because Ellen Page is about, like, 5'4", so she looks like a child still herself. She has that 50-year-old spirit, though. I will give her that. And I think that's what makes her hot. Shame she don't like dudes anymore. But, she's in the car driving with her sister. She ends up looking at her phone, and I don't know what city this is. They're on a bridge, and next thing you know it, wham! She's too busy looking at her phone, and the car just runs into the back of a truck. She ends up sliding off the bridge and drowning. She comes out, but her sister doesn't. And we fast forward, I don't know how many years later. She's in medical school trying to be a doctor, and what the fuck was that? I think whatever ghost was haunting Ellen Page found my ass or something. Anyway, though,
P1, stop reviewing the movie if you know what's good for you.
Sure. Come every time I do these horror films now, like something happens. You know, I did It and fucking balloons flew by me. I'm doing this one now. I'm hearing goddamn strange noises or whatever.
P1.
Where was I now? I lost my train of thought. Oh, yeah, so that's right. She's a medical school, along with some friends. Ray, played by Diego Luna. Marlo, played by Nina Dobre. Who, man, she sucked in previous movies. She's fine as hell, though. You got James Norton as Jamie. And you got Kiersey Clemons, who plays Sophia, a.k.a. Tessa Thompson Jr. here. Because that's who she looks like to me. So she's, I don't know what she was doing to this person, but all of a sudden, I think she saved someone, and then all of a sudden this person said, you lost someone. And then Ellen Page gets this idea of like, huh, what if you can see, what if the afterlife is something that, you know, where you could actually visit your dead loved ones? It's not some place where you go to heaven or hell. It's another reality in some aspects, I guess, if you will. And because she's living with the guilt of the death of her sister, she blames herself wholeheartedly. She's obsessed, if you will, to just get an apology out to her sister. You know, she's it doesn't show in the early steps of the film, but it slowly starts to creep in on her, especially when she starts to see, I don't know if you would call these visions or flashbacks or whatever they may be of her sister. She balls up in tears multiple times. She goes to that bridge during late nights just to look over it and stuff, you know. She's obsessed with it. And, well, she comes up with this idea to flatline to where you can kill yourself and come back to life just to see what the afterworld is about. And that's pretty much a plot synopsis. But I guess I can throw in there that her friends decide to do it with the exception of Diego Luna, because he's the only one saying, this is fucking crazy. He's like, I'm surprised a black girl wants to do this, because holy crap, you white people are crazy. I'm not killing myself to come back to life. Actually, I forgot Nina Dobrev, too, is in here. Once they all do it, they all start to notice that they're having, like, some kind of demonic presence, if you will, following them. Something is haunting them or torturing them, if you will. So they're looking at ways of how to redeem themselves and how to stop this from happening, and thus continue on living their normal, boring lives in medical school. Now, this movie's probably not going to have any screenings for this film at all. I already know that for a fact. And I can tell you exactly the reason why. This was a Sony film, and even though I don't work there anymore, I still have some friends that work there, and I'm able to get some special privileges, if you will. Plus, I know a lot of people there, so I was invited to one of their test screenings, if you will, or just accompanied someone, if you will. And I saw this, and I checked it out, and I looked at it, and was just like, you know, to go back on that 1990 Kiefer Sutherland Flatliner, excuse me, that movie sucked. That movie sucked ass, actually, now that I think about it. And, you know, it's funny, I never always say I never remember those movies, or at least because it's been so long since I've seen them, until I go see the remake, reboot, whatever version it may be, and I go like, oh yeah, this happened, and that happened, and this happened. Now, the first premise we get here, it really did start off different. It felt like they had a purpose of starting this, because I'm not going to lie, I don't think anyone is gonna see this weekend, as far as general audiences. And so the funny thing is, Sony knows this too. I'm sure like the few 15 people that review this movie, because 15 people, I'm assuming, when I have screenings, usually always like in the 15 to 40 range of people that went to go see a movie on their own dime, and then they come back with a review and they'll say this and that or blah blah blah, it'll be hated or whatever and stuff. But Sony knows this movie ain't gonna make any money here. And the reason for that is they had a multitude of test screens here, and there was a lot of shots in this film because the editing feels so choppy, and there's sequences that are added on, if you will. And that's simply because some of the audiences in the test screening, they didn't understand some of the sequences that happened here. There's a perfect example of that is, trust me, I was in the room with this audience when they said, "What happened?" I didn't get that. A dude literally gets stabbed and they don't understand that. I was just like, general audience, man, I tell you, they are quite a feat, to say the least, to provide. Sony's going to have to stop doing these test screenings with people. I'm not going to lie. They're going to have to stop doing these test screenings with people because they don't provide a single fuck of feedback at all. Like, okay, so one of the characters ends up getting stabbed, and that was James Norton's character, Jamie. He's coming out of the water after jumping off his yacht, which he lives in, and he comes out of the water, and he puts his hand on one of the blocks, and he gets a knife stabbed right through his hand. The very next scene is him and the friends all at a bar with his hands just wrapped up. It's not in pain or anything like that. And that scene was just thrown in there, added for an explanation to give some reasoning of what could be haunting them and stuff. That wasn't originally in the movie. And the reason why that got added in there is because people had a hard time of understanding what was happening. So take that how you want it. That's just one example. There's a lot of scenes like that in the movie where you're just like, oh my God. And it really just slows the pacing down of the film. It really just beats you over the head. And you're just like, okay, we can get it. It's not like the movie's like complex or smart or anything like that. It's like laid out for you and stuff. Even with those added scenes taken out of here, it could have just looked at this and gone like, oh, this is, okay, they're just being possessed. And I mean, even a dumbass could figure out like towards the end what is the reasoning behind this possession here, or this demonic torturing, if you will. But let's get into some positive things I want to get into. One thing I like, other than Kiefer Sutherland, who was Funny enough, he was actually entertaining in some aspect of that 1990 version here. But I like all the characters in here, to say the least. I think they have, I wouldn't say the best of chemistry, but I would say they have some good chemistry working with each other. Like, it's never great when it's like all of them is one. But I would say like there's some good one-on-one or two-on-one interactions with conversations here in the film. Ellen Page, well, she's Ellen Page. I mean, I just put Ellen Page on one of those list of female of actresses that's just, you know, she just brings it whenever she's in a film. I don't see her give too many bad performances. She's actually in another film that's coming out the same week this film's coming out. It's an animated film. I think it's only playing in one theater here in L.A., and it's at the Music Hall in Beverly Hills. It's an animated, really short film here, but it's a beautiful film. I forgot what film festivals it played at, but I would recommend checking that out if it's anywhere near your theater here. And in here, she's no different. She brings it in here, too. And I'm not going to lie. She had this one scene. She has little moments I'm starting to notice. You know, I never really found her to be, like, sexy. I always thought she was good-looking. I'd date her or whatever. But she always has these moments. And she has her moment here when she looks at James Dornan's character, and she tells him, "You want to have some fun with me tonight," or whatever. And the way she just said that and gave him this look, I was just like, hey. I love it too, because she's gonna tell him, "You must have interpreted what I said wrong." It's like, nah, I think every dude in that theater picked up. It's like, you sounded like you wanted to fuck, okay? Because he comes with a bottle of like Johnny Walker and shit, and he's like, "Let's get down, girl. What's going on here?" He's like, "There's two of you in here." Shit, that's what I'm talking about. I really related to James Dornan's character because, well, he was fucking everything that walks. And that reminds me of a little person I know, you know, a little P1 maybe. You know, my old days, you know, I don't do that no more. I'm a sophisticated gentleman nowadays, you know. I can't help it. Diego Luna, I thought it was okay. For as much star power as he has over everybody else, besides Ellen Page here. Well, I wouldn't even say star power, but his recognition here, though, I would assume he would be the best out of all of them. I thought him and Nina Dobrev were probably the weakest ones. I thought Diego Luna was okay. I just thought he would have stuck out a little bit more than what he did. I will give him credit for not trying that damn flatliner shit. Like, he's like, "I'm not going down for this here." But there is a liking subplot here with him and Nina Dobrev, where I was just like, nobody cares anymore. I will say, more positives, I will say, it's beautifully shot. There are some sequences in here where the cinematography is just, I would say, damn near great. I was going to say amazing, but I wouldn't go that far here. Some of the stuff they do with the afterlife, sort of those shots like her on the bridge with the, where she describes it as balls of energy and stuff. I don't know, I kind of like that that interpretation of, "Did you see the white light?" Because that's what they had asked her, is like, "Did you see the white light?" or whatever. And she's like, "No, it actually felt like more balls of, or just more waves of energy and stuff." The way they describe the afterlife, I kind of enjoyed that aspect. And the afterlife is something that everyone talks about, except for me. I don't really give a shit, to be honest. You know, you always got religious, non-religious people always talk, well, religious people, they just assume they're going to go to heaven or whatever. I assume they're going to hell, but I digress. But most people usually talk about, you know, where they're going to end up, where their body's going to go, where their soul might go, heaven, hell, floating around the cosmos of earth and space and time, fucking haunting people. Are you just dead and you don't feel anything? And you know, at first I wasn't intrigued with the movie when I heard it was coming out. I was just like, oh, all the remakes you could have made, why this one? I don't see the intriguing efforts here. And I was like, I don't really remember the first movie. I just remember not really liking it. I know it's going to be one of those things where people look at this film right here and go like, "Oh, it's nothing like the original here," whatever and stuff. Knowing good and goddamn well, you knew that original one sucked ass. So it's like, it's one of those things. Like, the movies I noticed that are getting remade are some shitty ones lately. And those are the ones people going, "Hey, it's not the original one." I was like, fuck that original, okay? What is up with people and holding this soft, close spot to people with these original films that came out back in the day when they were growing up and their CH was just so heavily involved with the film, whatever, and it's just like, gosh, grow the fuck up. Who cares? Why is that phone going off? Anyway, I think that's my ghost of past coming back to haunt my ass right now. Either way, though, so another thing I liked about the film is I was intrigued for the first 20, 30 minutes, maybe. I mean, the movie kind of had me. I wouldn't say it completely sold me, but it definitely had me. It was just like, okay, I want to see where this goes. You know, I was intrigued for quite some time here, and I was looking at it and was... I think it was even longer than that. I think it was great. I wouldn't even say great, but it was decent to good all the way up until they started to kick in this pseudo-horror element to it, and I was like, oh my fucking God. And that's when the movie just went completely off the rails, you know? So I was highly intrigued with the concept of... Because we get some movies here and there, but we don't get a lot of movies talking about the afterlife and what's up there and stuff like that. You know, you would think that this movie would have more of a clear-cut message of where it's going to go with the whole afterlife aspect of it. And really, the afterlife aspect of it and this whole flatlining thing kind of just plays a background to what's really going on in the film here. And once it gets into this horror aspect, like I said, the movie really just falls off the fucking rails. You stop, like, you're intrigued, but you're not intrigued to say I can forgive it for this. No, you're intrigued by saying you need to keep impressing me for me to go along with this film some more here, but it doesn't do that at all. It goes the complete opposite, and you know, every few moments after that was just like losing me, and you know, it's one of those things too where every time they flatline, the Ellen Page, her old thing, you know, she's having like, I guess it triggers like a part in your brain, you know. It opens up, it awakens you in some aspects, if you will. Like Ellen Page, she's having all these, her brain opened up for her past. Like she's having all these memories, like she used to play the piano as a kid, but she hasn't played it in years. She doesn't remember how to play, and she's playing it like she's Beethoven or something like that. Or she's having all these like, memories of like study when she's in class. You know, she's answering all the questions and everybody's looking at her like, how the fuck does she know that answer? And it's like there's moments where there's a sequence where they're talking about how could she learn that. That's a I forgot how much page they said, that's a 30 page study, like not even in the syllabus. So why would she go to that trouble? So it's like, oh, she was up reading all night and she's still wide awake and retain that memory or whatever. When James Norton goes in there, he's more on the, hers is the past, his is more the present. Like his brain opens up to where he uses his instincts more, you know, because he wasn't using them before, like going with his best judgment and stuff. He does it in here and it just works out best for him. Nina Dobrev goes in there, it's a different story now. Her, she's got a side story in here where she accidentally killed someone who got stung by a jellyfish in the face, I believe it was. She mixed two pills or something like that and gave it to them, even though they have no kind of effect on you if you mix them, as far as what Diego Luna told her. She did something else, and I can't remember. But also later on in that storyline, because she gets haunted with everyone calling her a murderer, and every time she, like, her visions are, she sees the word murderer written upon him. She sees this guy, this guy she killed and stuff like that. So, and her whole thing is, she also changed the charts, saying he died of a sting, a jellyfish to the face. She didn't put on the chart. She changed the chart from her saying that she gave him such pills and here and there. So Diego Luna wants her to come clean and confess herself, because really, people, you're gonna find out what the twist of this is. The movie is, you see in the trailer, looks like something is attacking them. You can't tell if it's visions, their brain is just fucking with them, is it really a ghost, or did they open a dimension to another portal where something is literally haunting them by attacking them, attacking by showing up in a friendly face or a certain fear they may have and attacking them that way. I'm going to go with the conclusion that it was, although it was real, it's very fucking real to be honest, it probably was illusions in their brain. Because nobody else can see it. But I guess that doesn't really make a difference here. But really, what goes down to it, too, as well, is it's not a demon nor so. It's, this is where the movie really pissed me off. I'm not gonna lie, I was kind of getting upset at this part. It's a ghost of your past attacking you so you can learn to forgive yourself and take responsibility for your actions. I figured that out. I was like, fuck this movie. I was like, you gotta be fucking kidding me. That is the lamest shit. I mean, obviously with Ellen Page, you got, you know, she's feeling guilty. She doesn't know how to forgive herself for her sister's death. James Norton's character, he, you know, obviously was sleeping around. He ended up getting a girl pregnant, and when she was getting the abortion, he abandoned her. He kept driving right past the clinic, and he never supported her once or whatever. So he feels guilty for that. Nina DeBrev, we talked about her, and her past, if you will, with the death of the jellyfish. Kiersey Clemons, Sophia's character, her mother put everything she had into that girl's medical education in the school, and she can't stand up to her mother for shit. She's 25, still living with her mother, you know, because her mother is just running her fucking life. She's got this past, though, where it was just such, and her mother was pretty much damn near abusing her of good grades, if you will. I wouldn't say abusing. I'd say training your ass for a good future, if you will. Look what happened to Michael. Worked out fine for him. I wish somebody beat my ass in the superstardom. But either way, though, so her thing was, in her high school, she did something really mean to a friend of hers, where her friend had a higher GPA than her, and the teacher always went to her because she knew the right answer and stuff. So she had her laptop open. Kiersey Clemons' character went to her laptop and saw her just taking, like, kind of pseudo-nude photos of herself in the mirror, and she sent them out to the whole fucking school, and that girl was just, like, castrated or whatever, made fun, called whores and all kind of shit throughout her whole school year, so she feels guilty. That was kind of crowbarred in there. I gotta bring up, too, by the way. Like, everybody else, I think they had, like, legitimate, like, gripes of their, like, past, like, oh, they did something really terrible. Especially Nina DeRev. I don't know how you fucking I don't know how you clear your conscience of that. Shit, like, that's one of the things about being a doctor. Like, you gotta have that feeling. It's like, look, whatever I do could possibly kill this person, so I better drink a lot to get used to the symptoms that this person could possibly die. But changing the charts too as well, that's really some kind of fucked up shit right there. I was like, that's some grimy stuff. Ellen Page, you completely get it. It's like, come on, you know, if she wouldn't have looked at her phone or something like that, her sister would still be alive or whatever. I mean, you couldn't help but feel guilty for that. James Norton, obviously, man, you know, that's got to attack the manhood a lot right there and stuff. But Kiersey Clemons, I'm like, okay, where the fuck did that come from? That wasn't even brought up nowhere near in the story here. I will say this is one of the positive things about the film here, is these characters each have motivations as to doing why they do. So it makes sense in that aspect here, because it's just like, why the fuck would they do something like this here? But you clearly see why they go through the things that they do here. But once it gets to that end, Ellen Page, she dies. She trips over her back. Well, I wouldn't even say trip. That her sister, or demonic thing, whatever it was, it pushed her ass over the edge and stuff. Everybody else, they just get close to it. They get haunted. They get like some cheap scare tactics and stuff like that. And it's like, it jump scares and all that. And you're just like, oh my God, this shit looks horrible. Maybe some of them are effective, but for me, I just don't like jump scares. I heard some people in the test screen, they were jumping and stuff. But for me, I was like, this is kind of shit. I'm telling you, when it got into that horror aspect, it really just took a nosedive down. And that's just how shitty that genre is, to be honest. That's really what it comes down to. It's just like, you add that genre to anything, and if it's not good, then it's really gonna just fall straight down here. Because there was an interesting concept that they had going here, but then it really just went down here. I ain't gonna lie, too. Kiersey Clemons in here, she looked good. I mean, there's a sex scene she had in here after she had her flatline moment and stuff, and she ended up fucking James Norton. Oh my God, that girl's fine. I will say, once it gets to the horror aspect, the later half of the film too, it just drops the ball on so many parts. There's added extra scenes in there that doesn't need to be there. They barely go over Ellen Page's death. They don't spend a moment on that, really, and stuff. They just like, oh my God, I can't believe she's here. But then they end the movie with a song on the piano that Ellen Page was playing by having a dude play it. And then next thing you know it, they like, oh, let's toast to her and stuff like that. Like, I'm just like, how the fuck do you end the movie on that when you barely cared about her? And the way that these hauntings, if you will, stop it, is they all go back to that previous person. Like, James Norton goes to see the girl he left who get the abortion, although when he gets to see her, She didn't have the abortion. She actually had the kid. And he's looking at her and going like, who's that kid? I'm like, boy, that's your son. he went and apologized to her to work things out. Kiersey Clemons, she went and apologized to her friend and stuff. And, you know, you could tell her friend, who I forgot who was played by here, she was just like, I'm not trying to remember any of that. But she did end up apologizing and forgiving her. And Nina Dobrev, she damn near went psychotic. She was getting suffocated in her car. Like, I see why. She put herself under to, again, flatline to go apologize to this dude from the fucking beyond or something like that, you know, because this dude, he was relentless on her ass. He was like, I want your ass. All right, you fuck me over. She gets like a ghost present from Ellen Page in this thing. And she just tells him, it looked like that Dawn of Justice flash sequence. Bruce, she's the key. That's what Ellen Page was. She was like, you need to learn to forgive yourself. With this like lightning vortex over her. I was like, what the fuck is this? Like, it really just looked bad. I mean, I didn't hate the movie, but it was one of those things by the time it ended, I was like, I ain't gonna even say I said, oh, I just kind of walked out and was just like, well, that was a missed opportunity. Gonna forget that movie in about 3, 2, 1. Yeah, I forgot about it already. Yeah. Because I thought I was gonna completely hate this film. I'm not gonna lie. Actually, I didn't. I'm shocked by that. So, with that said, I walked out thinking that it could have been intriguing, could have got a little better. Maybe it could have had some kind of message to say other than you need to fucking forgive people or whatever and stuff and forgive yourself. Like, get the fuck out of here with that nuanced bullshit right here. But, I wouldn't say I enjoyed it. I don't think people are going to enjoy it. I think people are going to hate this film. So, yeah, it barely gets by with a low stream it. I like the characters' motivations in here. The acting was fine on everybody's part. The beginning, first half of it, if you will, whatever, before it gets into the horror aspect of it, I thought was intriguing to interesting, if you will. But then after that, it just falls off the fucking rails. It's not enough for me to give it the full-on stream because I don't even think you'd enjoy this watching it at home. I think you'd just be like, really, just background noise, and you wouldn't pay attention. And then the funny thing about it being background noise, too, the sad thing, at least, is, man, you know, by the time you get done doing what you're going to do, you're going to see the later half of the film. You're going to be able to sit down and watch it, and you're going to like, this is stupid as fuck or whatever. Not seeing the intriguing first half of it, if you will. But I'll give it a low stream. It didn't hate the film, but it really was a missed opportunity to really get into this world and explore it a little bit better than what I thought. But what are you going to do, I guess? So low stream it.
Was it all fun? Was there anything disturbing? Something is happening to us. I think I'm going crazy.
Maybe we opened a door.
Something is coming for us.
Something I did.
This was my fault.